Well, good afternoon, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear Peter and the other apostles say to the high priest and the Sanhedrin, the council of Jewish elders, "Better for us to obey God than men." It is necessary to put these words into some perspective. The disciples were not insane or drunk or religious fanatics who disregarded human reason or the normal laws of society. Indeed, their arguments before the people of Jerusalem and before the Sanhedrin, as presented by St. Luke, were based on common sense, on sound interpretation of the scriptures, and on eyewitness accounts of what they had seen and heard. They were not asking the people to rebel against their rulers or to perform acts of lawlessness or violence, but rather to open their minds to the truth of the resurrection and their hearts to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And when the Jewish leaders refused to believe them and ordered them not to speak again about the name of Jesus, they were not bitter or angry. Instead, they were full of joy because they had been worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. What made the apostles so rational and mild-mannered on the one hand, and on the other, so persistent, so brave, and so ready to suffer? In a word, faith. Faith in God is based on facts, on the fact of our existence, on the facts of our experience, and on the Word of God as revealed in the Scriptures. But specifically, Christian faith is based on one overwhelming fact: Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The resurrection transforms our whole understanding of human life and death. Life after death is not now a philosophical belief or opinion held by some and rejected by others. Rather, it is a historical fact, for Christ died and rose again, and was seen to do so by hundreds of eyewitnesses. The forgiveness of sins is not an empty form of words, a myth or superstition, but a spiritual reality. For the God who has the power to overcome death also has the power to wipe away sin. And the love of God, God's love for us and our love for him in return, is now seen to be at the very center of existence. That God could love anything other than himself seemed an absurdity to the Greek philosophers. And even the Jews, who were told by Moses to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, struggled to believe it. Before Christ, the world was haunted by the sentiment so beautifully expressed in Virgil's Aeneid, "Sunt lacrimae rerum et mentem mortalia tangunt." There are tears in things, and all that is mortal touches the heart. But now we know that beyond the tears, there is transcendent joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus sacrificed himself for us, and he gave us the command, the honor, and the joy of sacrificing ourselves for him, when he told his disciples at the Last Supper, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." And so there is a great tenderness in the dialogue we hear in today's gospel between the risen Christ and Saint Peter. On the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter had denied him three times. So on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asks three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And three times Peter responds with growing exasperation, "You know that I love you." The threefold repetition signifies that Peter has been forgiven for denying Jesus. And there is also in the original Greek text of the gospel a subtle alteration between different words for loving and knowing, which show that Peter is finally learning to love Jesus as Jesus loved him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.